180. Get them at their new time from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Now it's time for Blaine and Mickey, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone.
Friday edition of Blaine and Mickey, let's do this. Once again, Blaine, the hitman with the day off. So the guy who played the hits on Jamard and Ramon this morning, Buck Rising, back for a second day. Dude, you completely infiltrated this radio station. You're now picking song lists for the morning drive show. I hope JT dips into some of that today. But your musical acumen is on display. I know you were at Titans practice earlier today, so I'll expect a full report of what happened on every field, if you know what I'm saying.
Hear no evil, see no evil. I know nothing about a third field.
And the other thing we're going to get into today, certainly before the show ends, is Buck's hatred of things that children love, like Halloween. Uncle Buck hates things that your children love. So, he's anti-Tooth Fairy, I'm sure, as well. The Easter Bunny is probably on his hit list. And his hatred of Halloween is very well professed. And so we'll get into that. We'll debate the merits of Halloween at some point on this show. Probably at the end of the show or at some point today, we have to get into this, Buck, just because how could you hate Halloween? How could you hate an entire holiday built on choosing the identity that you've always wanted and being flooded with candy? How in the world could you dislike something so magical as Halloween?
I can hear the frustration in your voice. See, every time we do one of these shows together, Mickey, I always say, how much fun I had working with you. And yet yesterday you started the show telling me that I was husky. And now today you're telling the audience, the lovely people listening to 104.5 The Zone, that I hate children and everything that they love in their lives. This is just out. It's not even subtle, the sabotage that you're doing to me before we spend 2 hours together the past 2 days on the radio. You're just outright taking me out, and I'm having to dig myself out of the hole that you put me in. How have I wronged you, Mickey Ryan? What did I do?
I think it's the Halloween slander. I mean, that hit me wrong. So I just thought today I'm going to take the legs out from under Buck. Now, the husky comment, I've heard you talk about your own, high school experience. And I don't think you've used the word husky, but I've heard you use the F word to describe yourself. So
yeah, puberty was kind. It's okay. It happens to everybody. And of course, we would invite your participation today. 615-737-1045. I know we have a couple of good guests coming up. We got Steve Palazzolo of Pro Football Focus, who will analyze all the things going wrong with the Titans defense, I'm sure at great length, and the hugely efficient offense. We got Rhett Bryan of Titans Radio, a favorite around here, I'm sure, at 2:15 to talk Titans, Bengals, and everything in between. Halloween isn't. It's not it for me. Listen, I am not the norm here. Before I get into this rant, like it's like with me and dogs when JT and Schaefer just pepper my mentions and tag my girlfriend in puppy gifts and things of that nature because they know I don't want one. I'm not normal here. So this is not a way that anybody else but me should feel. I just don't like the idea of some little 12-year-old sociopath walking up to my house in the dead of night and then digging his grimy little hands or her hands into a candy bowl that's been laid out in the middle of the pandemic. Now, I've seen hugely innovative ways to distribute the candy that I would consider, but I do not have the time to install a candy flume from the second story of my house that people can then shoot candy bars down to the children below.
Rising Estate in North Nashville. You don't have time to install a candy flume. See, here you are again, stealing joy.
At least in a pandemic, like it's normal, it would be more acceptable to do what I do on Halloween, which is shut off all the lights on my second floor, go upstairs, don't answer the door when anybody rings it, and hope that these people just go away at some point. I don't get it. I don't get the whole Halloween phenomenon, but this is, amidst everything
going
on.
Did somebody hurt you as a child? Let's get to the bottom of this.
I was too fat to fit my Halloween costume. We've uncovered demons from pre-puberty.
Did somebody put a razor blade in an apple that they gave you or something? Were you poisoned? Did your parents not believe in Halloween? Was there something bad that happened to you?
No, I just genuinely, this is a thing with me and holidays in general that we can talk about. I'm sure we'll put it to a poll on the 104.5 The Zone Twitter handle, because I'm not a big holidays person. This is just, again,
bah humbug.
No, listen, I've been to the Ryan, the palatial Ryan estate, for not one but two holiday celebrations. And of course, on a Friday when the Titans have a big AFC game coming up that they should win handily, and with Adoree Jackson not practicing today, this is where we start on the Blaine and Mickey show.
Would you say that your, almost called her your wife, your lovely girlfriend, would not look good and say, and I'm just going to be exempt since we love of all of our hardworking people out there. Like, she wouldn't look good on a Halloween night dress as maybe a nurse. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Well, what I would say to you, JT, is why does it have to be Halloween for her to dress up like a nurse? Like, that's, you know, I mean, that's all I would say to that.
Is Adoree going to play this weekend?
I hear he's designated to return off IR.
Moving on.
Happy Friday.
We'll save some more of that for later. But you were at practice. You saw who did and who didn't. Mike Vrabel did say during his Zoom meeting that Christian Fulton, I don't know if anybody had expected him to play. He and Dane Cruikshank, who was one play on defense and one interception last week. He's currently the most efficient defensive player in the AFC and maybe all of the NFL. He's one for one, one play of defense and one interception.
Love to see it.
Those two will be out, but how's everybody looking? What's the full report?
Yeah, so I'm sure we'll get into this at length, because you had some concerns heading into this game about your offensive line without Taylor Lewan, obviously. But more importantly, Dennis Kelly had not practiced Wednesday or Thursday with a knee injury. Now, he spoke today on the Zoom calls that I've just jumped off of. He said he was back at practice today. He said he's ready to go. So this is just kind of the way that I look, at how they're managing these guys right now, is you're going to see less and less practice time as the season wears on from maybe not veterans, because AJ Brown is not yet a veteran, but players of great import to this team and to the success of this team. Because as we talked about yesterday, the bye week's already gone. So you have to take you don't need them healthy on a Wednesday. You need them healthy on a Sunday. So if it takes an additional day of rest, which it sounds like that's kind of what they've done with Adoree Jackson, Vrabel spoke to the idea that he and John Robinson and the training staff had just decided, no, not that Friday for Adoree. There's still time for them to designate, or to activate rather, him from injured reserve before Sunday, although, you know, today makes that less likely. We'll see how it goes, but you do like to see Dennis Kelly, AJ Brown, Jadeveon Clowney, and for better or worse, Jonathan Joseph back at practice today after missing some time.
We need to start scanning that practice squad DB room. Breon Borders and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. They're getting really low on DBs at this point, especially if Adoree can't go. And I guess receivers can do some of what DBs can do on special teams, so maybe you pull up one of those guys.
Stumping for Tiny Khalif to play in the secondary? Is that what you're asking for?
No, not Tiny Khalif to do that. But they can do some of the receivers and DBs can do some of the same operational things on special teams, I'm saying. So they may get down to that. I mean, Cruikshank didn't expect to see Fulton, but, you're going to need some bodies to do some things on special teams.
Yes. So the last time that they've tried to bring in secondary help off the practice squad, you know, the whole COVID thing happened and that kind of
thing. Well, there was that.
Yeah. A bit disastrous. So, you know, for better, there's not been a lack of trying. There's just been a little bit of a speed bump to get over. Ty Smith did miss today. And as we mentioned, Dane Cruikshank and Christian Fulton have both been at this time ruled out. Adoree Jackson remains up in the air. You're going to need to keep up with this Bengals team, because I'm sure we'll talk with Steve Palazzolo in the next segment about how good Joe Burrow has been, how efficient or how well that he has functioned in that offense, despite being under tremendous pressure. He's been sacked 28 times already this year, and he seems to be without. I mean, when I look at the names of these offensive linemen And we'll spend some time on this because I don't want to scream and yell about what I want to see from this pass rush. But at some point, I have some venting of frustrations that we'll get to later in the show, having to do with the Tennessee Titans and their lack of pressure. But Hakeem Adeniji, left tackle, Michael Jordan, not the one that they did the 30 for 30 on, but the left guard for the Stinson. No Air Jordan in that. That's just Michael Jordan, the left guard for the Bengals. Billy Price, who was a higher round draft pick. Alex Redmond and Fred Johnson complete the Cincinnati Bengals offensive line. Zach Taylor alluded to earlier today when he spoke to Bengals media. That's a bunch of those dudes sound like Madden creative players that after you've played too many seasons of the franchise, they've just, you know, these are the guys that start to pop up in the draft, in the fake Madden draft that you do. Like, these don't sound like real people, and we can talk about it later in the show.
Also got to get into this. Isaiah Wilson completed a full week of practice for the Tennessee Titans. This is a real thing that happened in life on Earth in 2020 in Middle Tennessee, in Nashville to be exact, a practicing panda. Get into that as well. There's a lot to get into with Steve Palazzolo of Pro Football Focus. That's coming up. Blaine and Mickey with special guest, Mr. Anti-Halloween, Buck Rising.
This is your home for the AFC South's first place Titans.
Into the end zone.
The Zone.
It's Blaine and Mickey on a Friday talking football. Buck Rising sitting in for the hitman, Blaine Bishop, joined now by Steve Palazzolo, who joins us at PFF underscore Steve, senior analyst from Pro Football Focus. Got to ask you, man, this Titans-Bengals game seems like one that could be ripe to hit the over just based on who's not playing. That is, if the Bengals can keep enough people in front of Joey Burrow to keep him upright most of the day.
Yeah, I mean, that's the question for the Bengals. The offensive line has just been horrible, and they're all banged up. But Burrow's played pretty well, and he's played well with a decent group of playmakers. You know, rookie T. Higgins doing all right, and Tyler Boyd. A.J. Green's kind of morphing into a Larry Fitzgerald-like possession receiver, I think, later in his career. So the Bengals have some weapons. They just have to figure out how to protect Joe Burrow just a little bit. But, yeah, you could see some points on the board in this one.
Is it strange for you to say that about A.J. Green? Just because he's been so dynamic, Steve, in his career, and to say, yeah, he's morphing into this big veteran possession guy.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me a little bit of Reggie Wayne later in his career. Like, Wayne would be – they're different style players, but Reggie Wayne's last season in Indianapolis was kind of – possession guy, helping Andrew Luck along, and he wasn't really a part of the Colts' future. I think AJ's got a little bit of that with him with the Bengals. I don't know how long he'll be around there, but yeah, it's different because he's usually a big play threat, downfield option, and now a little bit more of a possession type guy so far.
Just one more quick Joe Burrow, staying at least down that vein. He and Justin Herbert have both looked really good. How have you got those rated maybe one over the other? I'm curious just because both have looked really, really good.
It's fascinating. We actually discussed this on the PFF NFL podcast this week and said they're both ultimately throw for throw, like when in the grading, they're 15th and 16th. They're right next to each other in our grading, but how they've gotten there is completely different. So Burrow has been one of our highest graded passers on passes up to 20 yards. He's dealing with a ridiculous amount of pressure. He's a little bit better in what we could call more of the stable stuff. Those passes up to 20 yards, if you're good at those, you'd generally be good at them going forward. Herbert has 8 passes of 20-plus yards that have gone for touchdowns, and when you look at his games, it's like, he was okay, and then he had 5 awesome plays. So it's completely different. Burrow's been better for 40 plays, you know, but Herbert's been outstanding for 5 or 6 per game, whatever it is. So it feels like Burrow's style it will be more sustainable, but Herbert is really showing some star power with his ability to drive the ball down the field.
Oh, his deep ball is – I mean, we got a little glimpse of that on Hard Knocks where he was throwing it in those nets, and it's like, geez, look at this guy. And, oh, my gosh, can he move the ball down the field.
Yeah, he's got a cannon. He's got carry on the ball. He's showing great touch. And, you know, they've got some good receivers there, but he's also giving them a chance to make those big plays.
No doubt. Steve Palazzolo, our guest.
It's crazy because in the face, Justin Herbert looks like he's 12 years old, and it drives me crazy every time I watch him. And then he just absolutely has a rocket launcher for an arm when you watch him. Let's look at the moving from the quarterback to what the defense that he'll be playing against here in Tennessee. They have been just historically bad on third down, Steve. And I wonder, when you look at the corners that they've had available to them, the defensive players that play for this team, guys who have been good, who have graded out well by your guys' metrics over the past couple of years in Rashawn Evans, in Kevin Byard, not playing up to expectation and everything else seemingly failing around them, where they're giving up 60% of third downs right now. What are you seeing? Is there any kind of trend that you notice when you study the Titans defense or when you guys grade these dudes out?
Yeah, I mean, defense is so tough to predict in general. The more we research this stuff, you know, it's so dependent on who you play. Now, it's not like Tennessee has played the best group of quarterbacks or receivers either, so that's where it's a little concerning. But going into last week, they had our lowest graded pass rush in the entire league, and I think that is where it starts. It got a little bit better last week, believe it or not, even in the loss, but I think that's where it starts. But I always looked at the Titans the last couple of years, and when they were trotting out Adoree Jackson, Malcolm Butler, and Logan Ryan, I was like, all right, this, you have a trio of corners that in any given week can make things difficult for opposing offenses. Like, they shut down the Patriots at their Super Bowl year, 2018. Any given week, they could put it all together. You don't have that same kind of depth this year, and I think that's the key in the NFL. It's not having one corner. It's really having four or five guys that you can trust that can cover, and, of course, pairing that with at least some semblance of a pass rush. So I think they're just not getting – they just don't have the same type of consistent, solid players back there, and you're getting a little bit of regression from players like Malcolm Butler. So, yeah, it's tough, but it should get a little bit better. They're a little bit better than they've been playing, for sure.
Yeah, I think, you know, we don't know whether Adoree will play on Sunday against the Bengals or not. At this point, they still have time between now and Saturday to activate him off of the designated to return from IR list. But you talk about the pass rush. Roethlisberger, that's as fast as I've seen him get rid of the ball, I mean, at any point in his career, 2.05 seconds. He's literally catching the snap and just letting it fly. And they were still able, as you mentioned, to generate a little bit more pass rush, the Titans were, than they have in weeks previous. The Clowney thing is an ongoing discussion point here, because the fans thought he was the missing piece or whatever. He's not exactly a natural edge rusher, not somebody that you associate with great pass rush statistics. But with him and Vic Beasley, I don't understand what I'm watching and why it isn't better, Steve. I don't get it.
Yeah, first off, with the Roethlisberger thing, he has completely changed his style of play this year. He's basically playing like Alex Smith played for majority of his career. Quick release, get rid of it, and let playmakers do their thing, not really throwing the ball down the field. So it is tough to get pressure on guys that are getting rid of it that quickly. You know, with Clowney, it's fascinating, because he went from probably overrated to almost underrated all within an offseason. You know, he's overrated in the fact that, I mean, he's a freak. He's 6'5", he's 260. It creates incredible power, and all the tools and traits scream great pass rusher, but all of our grades have always said good pass rusher, nothing great. And even the sack totals have generally backed that up. He has years of 6 or 8 or 9. And then last year, he only had 3, I think, officially by the NFL. But by our numbers, it was like, actually, he got pretty good pressure. That the pressure part is the tough thing, right? That's the tough thing to generate, and then the sacks will happen if you create pressure. So Clowney's in this weird spot where he's got 22 pressures, and I don't know if the NFL has him with any sacks. We have him with 0. So he's getting some pressure. He'll stumble into some sacks over time, but he's not an elite pass rusher. Same thing with Vic Beasley. He had a 16-sack season a couple of years ago. Our grades weren't even that good on him, showing that he stumbled into those sacks. That's, you know, when the quarterback holds it too long, he happens to be the guy there. And by our numbers, you're not going to get a great grade. You're just going to get a full sack, you know? So Beasley's never been a great pass rusher. He's worth a flyer type of guy, but he's never been a guy that's dominated despite having that 16-sack season. Once again, Titans should be better up front rushing the passer, but it's not like they're a dominant defensive front. And tell all the fans, there's no such thing as a missing piece. It doesn't exist. You can't be one player away unless it's a quarterback. So Clowney was never going to elevate this defense and make them a Super Bowl contender, you know, overnight.
I mean, you can tell, you, Steve, you know this. I'm sure your mentions are twice as much hell as ours are. But you're never going to win that argument. They're always going to think that there's a piece of way. Steve Palazzolo of Pro Football Focus here with us on 104.5 The Zone.
What have you guys seen with Rashawn Evans?
Yeah, so I think linebacker in general, here's my thing. Our linebacker grades are down in general around the NFL. As offenses get better, you know, we have the same standards year over year, but offenses are getting better. And what they're doing is putting linebackers and box safeties in a bind more than ever, right? With, you know, flooding zones. And it's just really difficult. And I think with Evans, even coming into this year, we didn't have a great grade on him. He was, you know, he's pretty good as a pass rusher. He missed a ton of tackles last year. And I think he's always been a guy that is better working downhill than he is working, you know, with on passes behind him. And I think that is one of those things. Again, the NFL is just doing a really good job of exploiting linebackers. So I think that's a big part of Evans' game. He's tackling better this year, but still giving up a ton, you know, a little bit too much in coverage. And, you know, he's just been okay against the run. But I think against other linebackers around the NFL, he's right in the middle tier this year. It's just the nature of where the NFL is going. Linebackers, safeties, offenses are getting really good at just really putting them in a bind with all the motion, play action, run pass option type of stuff that they're throwing at them these days.
For a lot of people, it's trade season. Everybody's tweeting at their team. They want them to trade for this guy and trade for that guy. Just when you look at the, okay, this dude is probably available list of dudes, do you look at the Titans and think, hey, man, that dude's probably available. And for a 6-round pick, which the Titans have 3 of them, he could really help these guys out. Is there anything like that you see just in an area of need for the Titans? Maybe a potential trade out there?
You know, it's unfortunate. I think Will Fuller would be an awesome, you know, fit, but you know, you're right in the middle of the division. You know, I think Will Fuller would be a fit for a lot of different teams. You know, I think maybe adding another potential wide receiver or playmaker, maybe a Golden Tate, not that they have a ton of footballs to go around the way this offense is built, but I still think it's, this team goes as far as Ryan Tannehill takes them, not as far as Derrick Henry takes them. You win in the passing game in the NFL. And what you get from Derrick Henry is what you saw 2 weeks ago. It's like, all right, if you, at some point, he might break a 90-yarder, and that's great. But this team's going to go as far as Ryan Tannehill, and the passing offense takes them. So as teams start to give more attention to A.J. Brown and Corey Davis is in and out due to injury and all that stuff, just having more weapons, I think, just makes this team that much better. So receiver, potentially, maybe a Golden Tate type of player, I think, would help a lot of teams around the NFL.
We're setting them up to be disappointed, Steve, because they already went through the Golden Tate thing. John, I mean, they hated John Robinson.
He's local to Middle Tennessee. He's a local guy.
Oh, God, they wanted John Robinson's head when he didn't trade the last time around for Golden Tate or Demaryius Thomas.
The corpse of
Demaryius Thomas.
Golden Tate's been a trade option for like the last 6 years. He's been, like, every fan base wants him, I think. And yep, he's good. He can still produce.
It kills me. So the thing that Titans fans hate to hear the most, it seems, anytime you would dare disparage the name of Derrick Henry in favor of Ryan Tannehill, it's an ongoing thing here in Tennessee. He's SEC. He's Heisman Trophy winner. He represents all things Eddie George in the new age of Titans football. You can't slander this man, Steve. But when you're talking, I look at things the same way that you've just laid out, that you win. It's quantifiable that you win in the NFL with the passing game. Ryan Tannehill has, by any stretch of the imagination, outperformed expectations. Have you guys, since you've been grading these guys, have you ever seen a jump in production like Dolphins Ryan Tannehill to now Tennessee Titans Ryan Tannehill? Are you guys seeing the same kind of jump that we think we're seeing on the field?
We're seeing the same type of jump, absolutely. I mean, he graded at 90-plus last year. Last week's game, believe it or not, actually brought him back down to earth a little bit. The stats ended up pretty good. That was inflated a little bit by AJ's big play and a couple passes that probably should have been picked that weren't. But I think, you know, I wrote about this before the season. Tannehill's supposed to regress. So, that's the bad news, right? I think he should go back closer to Miami Dolphins Tannehill. And what I wrote about was all of the outlier seasons of the last decade. Essentially, it was Cam Newton's MVP season was just not in line with the rest of his career. Tannehill last year, Nick Foles 2013, Mitch Trubisky in 2018, Eli Manning had 2 years that were just out of sorts compared to the rest of his career. So I struggle with the balance between I'd love to believe that Tannehill, you know, figured something out and turned everything around and Miami's behind him and now he's Tennessee Titans Tannehill and he's a top 10 quarterback year in, year out. But you also have to be careful because there's so much data that says he's probably closer to Miami than he is what he showed last year. So As far as, you know, like in a macro view, anybody that has this late career, you know, surge, you know, that Tannehill's had, I always remember Rich Gannon in like year 12 of his career, just figuring it out. So I'm
went to the Raiders. Yep.
Right. I'm always wary of the Rich Gannon who just became like a mid 30s MVP. So I never want to write anybody off, but I would expect Tannehill to continue to regress a little bit. But again, credit to Tennessee, Arthur Smith, the way they've used him, the way they've run the offense, AJ Brown coming out has helped a lot. It's been fun to watch his, you know, his resurgence here in Tennessee the last year plus.
It's been a godsend for our football watching experience here in Tennessee. Yes. Without question, we're on with Steve Palazzolo of Pro Football Focus, the Pro Football Focus NFL podcast, by the way, that he does with Sam Monson. You can subscribe, rate, and review wherever it is that you get your podcasts.
No doubt. You mentioned A.J. Brown. He has been a part of this resurgence of the Titans offense, really unprecedented in the Titans era. You got to go back to Warren Moon to find numbers like this organization historically has put up. But A.J. Brown, the Titans sent us these supplemental notes that we peruse each week. Here's one for you, Steve. A.J. Brown and Randy Moss are the only two players to enter the NFL since 1970, which is the merger for all you older people like me who remember the merger or at least know about it.
I'm still trying to figure out who Rich Gannon is. That's the second time you've used that reference with me, Mick, and I have no idea who this man is.
Well, Steve used it because he knows Rich Gannon. But here's the number. 75 receptions, 12 touchdowns, while averaging 18 yards per reception in their first 20 games. It's two people. It's Randy Moss and A.J. Brown. That's how good that dude has been so far.
Yeah, he's been incredible. I mean, him and DK Metcalf, both being on the same offense at Ole Miss. And, you know, our draft board had A.J. Brown number one, DK number one, A.J. number two. I wanted to flip them. I wanted A.J. number one. But I think what he's brought to the table is, you know, downfield ball skills and all that stuff. But the ability to take a dig route, what was it, 74 yards or whatever the other day. He took 190 last year. Those plays are supposed to be few and far between, and you know, he makes them pretty regularly. His ability to run away from defenders, speed, size. So yeah, he's fantastic, right? So just continue to feed him the ball. Plus, I've always been a big Corey Davis apologist. He never lived up to the hype, obviously, but he's a decent number two. He's not what you want from the fifth overall pick, but he's a decent number two and a complimentary piece to the great A.J. Brown, who is off to a fantastic start to his career.
Buck mentioned
there's room on this hill. We can die on it together. The Corey Davis
Buck,
hill. I got you, Steve.
Buck has very much been active on that. We had a long talk about Derrick Henry on this show yesterday. He leads the league in rushing. He was the player of the month for the AFC from an offensive standpoint. He had the one 200-yard game. Then he had a couple of games where he was under 100 yards. He sees a stacked box on pretty much every play. A lot of what he sees obviously enables Ryan Tannehill to then see what he gets to see. To me, they're the perfect complement for each other. But where do you stand in the argument of paying the running back and where Derrick Henry fits into that?
Don't pay him, even if they are Derrick Henry. You just can't do it. The thing about Henry, like I said, he's fantastic. So right now he's fantastic for a running back. 4.6 yards per carry, which were very much fueled by literally one game. So the problem with the running back position is if you spend 7 weeks feeding your back at 3.5 yards per carry with hopes he's going to reel off an 80 or 90 yarder and offset things, that's just a lot of wasted plays. And I look at last week's game against the Steelers, and here's what I was trying to figure out. Vrabel's getting all these Bill Belichick comps, right? He had that great 12 men on the field penalty. He's a genius. What Belichick would have done last week with Derrick Henry as his running back, he would have said, Derrick, take the week off. We're going up against the Steelers defensive front. I don't need you. This is a Ryan Tannehill game. You're going to throw the ball 40 times, 50 times a game. We're going to spread this team out. It's the only way we can beat them. We're not going to pound our head against the wall. That's what I think the Titans need. A balance on offense is being able to win with any style, right? And one of those styles is a couple times a year, Derrick Henry might win a game for you. You know, the Ravens game, he was fantastic in the playoffs, and a couple weeks ago, the 90-yarder. But if you try to feed him 20 to 25 carries per week, I think you're leaving too many plays on the table, right? So it's got to be a pass-first approach where every now and again you rely on Derrick Henry to be a freak and force some missed tackles.
Steve Palazzolo on with us from Pro Football Focus.
God, it's so nice to have a rational football conversation with somebody about the running back. It's just, It's never ending. It's never ending, and it never will as long as he's on the roster. Which, by the way, he's fun to watch on occasion. But yeah,
he's an awesome running back. He's great at what he does. But again, the marginal impacts that the impacts that he makes over the next best running back is marginal. It's tough to feel that, but it is just it's marginal. It's all it is.
So in all of the, because you guys grade every play, every snap of every player at Pro Football Focus, it's one of the most insane, insane accomplishments, I think, anywhere in sports media. I don't know how that's even possible. But regardless, who has outperformed? Because there's a ton of great football getting ready to be played this week, and of course you have Steelers and Ravens on the docket. Out of all of the players that you've watched, known commodities or otherwise, who has outperformed your expectations in this season when it's been so kind of difficult to do so for a lot of people, it seems?
Yeah, it has to be Josh Allen. You know, I think the Buffalo quarterback, you know, Bills fans were so angry at us when we didn't grade him well the last couple of years. And he's come back down to earth the last couple of weeks. But still, the body of work that he's put out there this year has been much improved. You know, his accuracy is much improved. It's a challenge playing up in Buffalo in the wind and all that stuff. He's got, you know, another tough conditions this week to maintain his pretty stats and all that stuff. He's been aided by what they've built around him, but watching Josh Allen's development has been impressive. He's improved in parts of his game that people didn't expect. So I think Allen's kind of that breakout guy for us this year.
Steve, great stuff, man. We appreciate it. I do. Just very quickly on the way out, after the Titans finish with the Bengals, however that goes, they got the Colts in two of their next four games. What have you seen with Phillip Rivers so far? Because it just seems like there's really good and really bad.
Really good and really bad is what it is. I mean, when he's been protected, he was pressured 17 times over the first 4 weeks of the season. That used to be called a game for him with the Chargers. So when the line gives him time, he's been pretty good. If they pressure him a little bit, he gets a little panicky. He has a game like the Browns where he starts throwing the ball into coverage. I still don't know what to make of the Colts. They have the pieces, but they haven't really, you know, beaten those good teams yet.
All he is really giftable. That's all. That's all Phillip Rivers is. I live for it.
Steve, great stuff, man. Let's do this again soon. Really appreciate the time and all the insight today. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Yes, sir. @PFF_Steve, Steve Palazzolo, senior analyst from Pro Football Focus. We roll on trade season talk.
Buck, I'm so mad at you. I heard you bring that up in the conversation, and I'm already mad.
Buck wants to talk trades, and we know you do too. So who do you want the Titans to trade for? 615-737-1045. Because Buck just doesn't think trades are good. And we all know that trades can be very good. Hit him up. Blaine and Mickey with Buck Rising on 104.5 The Zone.
The Midday 180 with regular guests like Eddie George, Coach Dean Pease, and more. They are just setting the bar. They are the bar for excellence.
Well, some might argue that I'm just reading this.
The Midday 180, Monday from 9 to 1 p.m. on 104.5 The Zone.
Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone, special guest DJ and host Buck Rising from A to Z Sports hanging out. So you submitted a music playlist to J. Martin Ramon, and that was their entire bump list, I guess, for today. What was that? What were the dulcet tones that we just heard coming back in there? Was that Skrillex featuring the Chainsmokers or something?
No, that was 21 Savage, and I hope it's faded down because in 38 seconds it probably gets a little not FCC safe. I had to send Schaefer some specific times today, JT. Stay woke out there, man. behind the glass.
Bail out of that by like 35. Start the hard fade at, you know, 35 and get out of that. Yes.
Yeah, so the boys hit me up, and apparently they had started last Friday with on Fridays moving forward, they would take celebrity playlists, crappy celebrities, as it were, since I am the one who did the playlist this morning. But so Kayla Anderson of WKRN, our friend, gave them their first playlist where she selected their bump music for every segment coming back. That wasn't, their show open. That I think is pretty standard for people. And today they hit me up for mine. So I am very meticulous about what I like things to sound like. And I sent Schaefer several edits. I woke up at 5, you know, I got up at 5:30. I sent Schaefer a final edit at 5:50 this morning before they went to air. Specific times, which ones were to be instrumental, which ones were not to be instrumental.
He's got a lot to do, Buck. He doesn't have time to edit everything. He's not Casey Kasem. He's just got other things to do besides Schaefer? Play the hits.
Schaefer doesn't do anything in the morning. No.
He does. He's busy.
Just plays music.
Well, then don't ask me. Don't ask me. If you don't want to work as hard as me on it, don't ask me for something.
Okay.
That's the way that I'm looking at this, Mick. So, yeah, we had a good time. I thought it flowed well. I don't know if JT is sticking to the same layout that I gave the boys this morning, but, it's nice to have a little variety every once in a while.
Any 80s metal at all? Any 80s metal? Dawkins? Any rocking with Dawkins? Scorpions? Anything?
No. George Motley? Michael almost made the cut, but he was the edit that I took out this morning.
What George Michael were you going to go? Wham or like solo George Michael?
Freedom in the last segment.
Okay.
That was my plan.
That's apropos of a weekend ending last second. You know, starts the weekend, ends the show. They can have freedom. George Michael. Rest in peace, George.
Yeah, and I hope to have freedom from this trade conversation that you have now opened the doors for. 615-737-1045. If you would like to chime in on Mickey's wide open question, who do you want the Titans to trade for? Anybody. Give us a name.
Your friend Puka, who listens to your podcast or listens to your show every night, A to Z Sports Primetime, as I'm trying to say. I know you and Puka have lots of interactions. Puka says, bring Gilmore here. It's right here on my phone. Bring Gilmore here, Buck. It's going to take more than one of those six rounders to make that happen.
Puka is a lovely woman. She's 63 years old, and she exists on Twitter to troll me in the in the comments section during the primetime show. Yes, thank you for the plug. A to Z Sports Primetime, Sunday to Thursday night at 8 p.m. on your A to Z Sports streaming platforms. The injury report, Mickey, by the way, as we sit here talking about defensive backs that will not be available. Ty Smith with the shoulder injury did not practice today. We know Christian Fulton and Dane Cruikshank have already been ruled out. Ty Smith is questionable for Sunday against Cincinnati, as is backup center Daniel Munyer, who I'm not entirely sure what he looks like, but he also did not practice the last 2 days.
So obviously it's not, this isn't the old days, you know, where you could just trade somebody and walk them out there. There's a lot of COVID protocols and whatnot. Is there anything that makes sense? John Robinson, we call him Trader John, but he's not midseason Trader John. He's more offseason Trader John. Kamalai Correa, I guess, being the one example of someone in midseason or anywhere in season where he's like, okay, you'd like to go somewhere else. Try Jacksonville. Enjoy yourself. They have fresh seafood. But Adoree Jackson didn't practice today, as you said. It was said by Mike Vrabel on the Zoom meeting as it was the right thing for him today. I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially, we talked to the training staff and they said this is the right thing for him today. So if you're a Titans fan, you're probably thinking, okay, I'm not going to hold my breath waiting for Adoree. Jonathan Joseph is who he is at this point in his career. Ty Smith is like a good 4 or 5 corner on your team, but he's been pressed into playing more plays. Christian Fulton's not going to play. I mean, would you entertain going to the Jets or somebody who have a guy who can play some corner for this team, maybe not Gilmore?
So this year's weird, right? Because we all expect the salary cap to, at best in 2021, be flat, stay at $195 million, whereas every other year it's gone up about an average of $10 million for like the last 7 years.
Yeah.
I don't know if an expanded postseason this year, though, Mickey, makes teams more interested in trying to get transactional. The deadline, by the way, is Tuesday at 3 p.m. Central Time because we're already in week 9. It seems odd, but that's the situation. There are deals that you can make sense. Like Stephon Gilmore, who apparently has tweaked something with his knee the last that I saw the reports out of New England.
Right.
This morning. So maybe it's like Jalen Ramsey's back problems last year or whatever he was having with the Jags. The Gilmore thing, you could make sense. Now, if you trade for Stephon Gilmore, you can make the money right, but you're going to have to give him an extension on top of the deal that he already has. He's 29 years old. You would probably move on from Malcolm Butler after this year as he's kind of aging out, and as is that contract that you can get out from under with relatively little dead money, but how much do you want to give up? How much is Bill going to charge you for an AFC team that can and has the ability to beat his team when they were much better than this year's team, where right. they ended Tom Brady's career as a New England Patriot? How inclined is Bill going to be to just, you know, make it a little easier on John and Mike because they know each other from years past? Outside of that, like if you want to give up a conditional sixth or seventh for depth of tackle, I wouldn't be mad at you. If you want to go out there and get whatever edge rusher fits your scheme that could potentially help, I'm not going to be mad at you. All I'm saying is people keep asking us, Mickey, I'm sure you get plenty of this as well on the show. By the way, we'd welcome your input, 615-737-1045. The trade that makes the most sense, which is what people are asking for, is no trade. This is not what John does. Like the right. most likely trade scenario is there's not a deal and you guys are pissy about it after the deadline's passed and we all have to hear about the ghost of Demaryius Thomas that you didn't get. And now you end up with A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, and Adam Humphries like it was any skin off John Robinson's nose. I trust him to make the right decisions. I don't know if this year changes any of those decisions at all. I'm just saying the most likely scenario is that nothing happens.
It sounds like date night for Bucker Isaac, right?
Says you. We were talking about nurses' outfits earlier. I don't know where JT's at.
I know, Bucks. JT's trying to spice up the nightlife for you. We'll get into some more Halloween discussion. Buck, by the way, does not like Halloween. It's a big second hour coming up. Brian is going to join us. We do need to get into some holiday discussions. We'll save that for the end of the show. But headlines, including who did and who didn't practice and more, coming up next on Blaine and Mickey with special guest host Buck Rising of A to Z Sports.
The Titans are back on the road against the NFL Draft's number one pick, Joe Burrow, and the Cincinnati Bengals. This isn't LSU, Joe. You play for the Bengals. Kickoff is Sunday at 12 noon on your home for Titans football. 104.5 The Zone.